Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Brother Ralph, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
And Pastor Cox, good evening to you.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma City.
Amen, amen. Well, I know we've got a couple callers. Looking forward to that. And so, Ralph, I'll sure let you know when they call in.
All right. Thank you, sir. We do welcome everybody to tonight's broadcast of Hope is Alive. And what is Hope is Alive? Well, it's a show about hope. It's a show about testimony. It's a show about the captives being set free. It's a show about the testimony of those doing the same works of Jesus as he said and commanded his believers to do. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, deliveranceusa.com. Excellent website. Or if you like to read a book, Pastor Cox has written a great book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Rich the office at 307-742-7582. Then they'd like to have that, and he will get it out to you. Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be doing as Christians, isn't it, Pastor?
Yeah, that's affirmative. That's the way I read it. You know, it's pretty clear when Jesus said that in John 14:12, that we're to do the same works that he did, and that included casting out evil spirits and healing the sick and many things. All the works that he did, you and I and any believer is supposed to be doing them.
That's right. And you know, I hear often, read often, see often, now, those things were for the first church, the sign, and they died off with the apostles. Well, I've been having a hard time finding that scripture that says that.
Well, there is
what I see. Well, I know. But what I do see is believers shall do these things. And you know what? I believe that's true, don't you?
Well, I know it's true. We've seen, in our ministry, we've seen 43 years of it happening. So it's a little hard to talk us out of it.
That's right. That's right. And speaking of 43 years of Monday nights, give us an update on what happened on the last Monday night.
Well, we had 9 cases. Usually we have a few more. We had actually 15 on the list. State Fair is going on right now in Oklahoma City, and it seems like, I remember right, it drops off a little during this period. But we had a great evening. I had an unusual case. I really had some heavy manifestations. Had a couple, we had extra ministers, so a couple of the team leaders were sitting in with me, and I got the head in. It went very nice. We went through the breaking of ungodly soul ties, and then the dealing with the trauma doors, emotional pains of the past, and working through that. And then I went for the head demon to see if I could get it up, and it did come up. Its name was Guilt, and it was first-degree manifestation and beyond, I'd have to say. Very often we had violence in the office. I mean, I haven't had a case like that maybe in a year. In any case, more than once he thrashed out of the chair onto the floor. I had the angels pick him up and put him back in the chair. Had to do that 3 or 4 times. And other times I'm talking about the man himself in the manifestation. The demon had him bent over in this chair with his head down. Of course, I'm trying to work a deliverance ministry here, and I had the angels pull him back up and sit him straight in the chair. He still had his head down. Warring angels, pull his head up now. Look me in the eyes, Guilt. Look me in the eyes. The eyes came open. So we proceeded. But it seemed like it went pretty well, all in all. This young man had been in the horse business for many decades, breaking horses. And I had ministered to him once before. This was about 5 years ago. He was out of another town in Oklahoma. And but he had called over the weekend and wanted ministry, and he had all this pain, which wouldn't be unusual in breaking horses. So that's a kind of a common thing that goes with that. But praise God, as we went through it all, and this demon, when I did get it to talk, gruff as it was, and see, I had some notes here. At one point, it gave him the lies that it was telling him, of course, the usual stuff. He's going to die. He's no good. You're destroying your son. He's crazy. And then a little later it said, I won't quit until I get him. Another time it said, I'm going to beat him down. Well, you know, I wonder how much of that's going on with people and these demons like this. I'm sure everywhere, all around us. At any rate, finally got it cast out, and this guy, praise God, his pain's gone. I mean, he just had his arms in the air, and he also, we took him through a renewal of the baptism of the Holy Spirit I administered 5 years ago, but he kind of gotten away from the tongues. But he was just astonished. And, of course, from what we're watching, it's the real person instead of being covered over by Guilt and these other demons. So he looked so different, all of us in the room, you know, noted. He looked younger, he looked different, better, and of course it was a real him, as I told him that. So anxious to communicate with him and seeing how he's doing, there's no way it wouldn't be better. Amen.
Amen. That's right. That's right. You know, the head demon technique. I've been reading in the book of Mark this week, and in chapter 5, you see an example of Jesus using basically the head demon technique. He communicates with them, demands to know his name, and you know the scripture records what we need to learn. But I would bet there was more to the conversation. What was there? So
yes,
for those people out there that may think, yeah, I'm sure some legal grounds were addressed and legal rights. But I mean, it's clear as day. Jesus had a one-on-one conversation with a demon-possessed man. And I heard the silliness this week of a Christian say, well, demons are nothing more than mental illness. And my reply was, oh, yeah, because we all know mental illness gives people supernatural strength and it makes them, give them the strength so they can break shackles.
Yeah. Well, that one was breaking chains.
Yes, breaking shackles and chains. Yeah, breaking shackles and chains. And but the head demon technique, which Pastor Cox talks about, it's mentioned in his book, How to Do It. I'm fairly confident it's there online as well in the training, but it's just a quicker way to deal through things.
Well, and you don't have to talk to all the demons, Ralph. That's
yes.
Years ago, I talked to all the demons and blow them away as I get one up where I could interrogate it. But as a head demon technique, you just talk to the head demon, interrogate it on what's going on, making sure there's no remaining legal rights or assignments that haven't been canceled, and then blow them out as a package.
That's right. And I think that's what he did there, because when he says, in chapter 9, he says, and he was asking him, what is your name? And he said to him, my name is Legion, for we are many.
Mm-hmm.
And we have found often that there are many more than just one within a Christian. Pastor Cox.
And Ralph, I've heard demons say many, many times, and also legions. Same thing.
Yes.
Is what that one said. Yeah.
And it says that, you know, the average born again Christian will have just 36. See, 36 demons. And how much more those who are not born again?
Yeah.
So. From reading the book of Mark this past week, it talks quite a bit about demons in that book. Sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't. Obviously, I have, because I got a lot of those examples highlighted.
Mm-hmm.
But as you read this story of history, our history here in the book of Mark, Jesus said, "You'll do these things too."
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're on here, to testify those who have done it, and to testify those who have had it done, because as you see the record as it goes on in chapter 5, there was herdsmen that witnessed it, and the man who was demon possessed, they were testifying to people what had happened. And I bet there was some like, that's crazy. But I bet there was others that were like, wow. And I bet that could help so-and-so. I bet that could help so-and-so. So that would be my guess, Pastor. A lot of times we just don't have the whole picture in Scripture. The Holy Spirit gives us what we need to know and tells us exactly what we got to see. But we know that there's a lot more that happens than what's just recorded.
Well, he gave us the basics, you know.
That's right.
Of course, as we read in the Word, it said if everything was written down that Jesus did, you wouldn't be able to carry it, you know.
Yeah.
So
it would take us. It would take us a while to read it.
Well, that's right too. You couldn't even carry it around.
Okay. Well, Pastor, we have our first caller, Joe. Joe, we thank you for joining us this evening.
Yeah, thank you.
Joe?
Yes.
Yeah, Joe, so glad you called in. It's Ralph on there with me up in the Branson area. And can you hear me okay, Joe?
Yeah, I can hear you good.
Okay, you might can back you hear me? Away from the phone some. Seems to be distorting some. Just kind of back it away, hold it away from your mouth some. Well, why don't you, Joe, go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and what was going on in your life, how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like and changes you've seen and so forth. So go right ahead.
I was in 2017 is when my eyes were really opened. I'd been to church camp when I was about 8 or 10 years old, and it went forward to give my life to the Lord, but had never really. My parents didn't grow up going to church, and so I didn't have any exposure to anything until I was 35 years old. I was seeking more for my family. So one morning, my brother had given me a book, by this guy named Lee Strobel, and it was a case for a creator, and it was like scales kind of fell off my eyes, and I remember just asking the Lord to reveal himself to me, and just prayed a simple prayer in the car, and then it took about 2 years after that of a friend invited me to church and before or counter
mm-hmm.
where there was yeah can you hear me
yes can you hear me? Yeah go ahead
okay so I was invited to this this event called Men's Encounter and it was there that man, I was really overcome with emotion and just really couldn't stop weeping and there was testimonies and teachings and everybody sharing their encounters with the Lord and I had my own encounter with him and he asked me to the Lord really just I mean physically I could feel his touch on me just remember weeping and crying at the same time and being I don't know. I guess filled with the Spirit is the best way to put it. In that moment, and after that, I've been on fire since then. That was 2019, and I've been returning to these men's encounter events, and through there, I've met some other guys, and one of them had sent me a video of Everts, and was talking about deliverance, and the Lord had been walking me through, I'd already prayed for some people to be delivered from what I would know is strongholds or demons that would manifest. You could see them on people's faces whenever you would mention a certain name or call them out. You could almost see them wince or whatever. So I knew I was familiar with it, but I hadn't been somewhere where it was specifically about deliverance and. So anyway, we ended up going to Everts and took, there was four of us, me and my wife and two other guys and all of our experience was pretty similar. I mean, we saw, I remember a couple of different things that stood out to me during Everts, deliverance during our session and interview and a little bit of, weeping and then some burping and some yawning and some just something what might be like giggling and just manifest stuff like that happened. It was pretty incredible the power from the door closing prayer and the forgiveness things and the just the healing stuff that I could just tell was occurring. But it's really like deeper than words, you really don't have a good explanation for things that are happening in your spirit. So, And that's it, I guess.
Have you seen changes since you came for ministry?
One of the things I just found out today, I had a friend when we were younger. We had, you know, when we were boys, we had some experimentation and stuff with each other, and I just went ahead and offered his name up as like a soul tie to break something off if there was anything there. And actually, he ended up he's been really struggling with drinking and alcohol for years. And just recently he decided to check himself into the hospital, and I just was able to talk to him today about the Lord. And I don't know, I just felt like it was funny that the timing of all of it. And then I have noticed my bride's relationship and I have been a lot better since we went down there together and experienced that together.
Yeah, praise God. Well, that's the whole idea of it. And let's see, did you have any physical problems? I can't quite recall now that we addressed. Were you okay there?
I had a neck pain or whatever that kind of came on as I went down there that it lasted for about a day after we left there. But it hasn't returned. It took about a day and a half for it to leave after we left. But as far as healings from old injuries or anything, I didn't really have any of those. I've experienced healing through the Lord before. So I was familiar with that for sure.
So the pain after, what was it, a day or two, finally did leave in your neck or back?
Yes.
Is that correct?
It was a couple of days, yeah.
Yeah, praise God. Well, sometimes there can be delayed deliverance. We occasionally see that, where things
right.
Don't come out the very time that you address them. Well, are you any other comments about your ministry session that would be interesting for the listeners?
One of them, when we started talking about the spirit of sloth or lethargy or tiredness, I remember very specifically, like, the words were coming out slower, and it was almost like it was trying to prevent me from finishing saying the rebuking part of that, of going through that one. So that was pretty intense. Like, I just remember my eyes being heavy and my almost like your words being slurred from that.
And kind of a manifestation, I guess, of the spirit.
Yeah.
Well, are you more energized now, Joe?
Yeah, I am.
Hallelujah. Well, that might have been worth the trip, because you came, what, four? It was 7 hours, wasn't it, that you guys drove?
7 hours, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I always hope it was worth it for the people that drive that far. We've had them even drive from the coast, is pretty unbelievable.
No,
they drive a car that far.
It definitely was, and we're wanting to start doing, we've been talking about doing something similar up here just to get started on it. And so I'm looking forward to that, too, because I know it's very much needed.
How large is a town are you in? It's up there in Missouri.
The town where we normally go to church is about 10,000.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a pretty good size. You don't suppose any of those people could use deliverance?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
That was a loaded question, of course.
Yeah.
Well, more than likely, all of them could use it. They just don't know it.
Yeah.
They've got problems, like on that problem list that everybody fills out. They probably easily mark down 36 or so, right off. Yeah, so that's exciting that there was four of you that came down, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that would be a group that you could kind of start with and start doing some deliverances.
Yep, I think that's what we're going to try to do.
And, you know, feel free to call, too, as you have questions. We've had quite a few people actually go through deliverance, and then they're out there doing it after a while, even in other locations. And I guess that's what it's all about, is discipleship, in this case of deliverance, since very few churches seem to say anything about it. Is that the case up in your area?
Yeah, it's very few places that teach on it or talk about it.
Yeah, I grew up never hearing anything about it, Joe, and I was age 44 before I even heard about it, and then I wanted to see some of it, if it was real, and of course I finally even saw manifestations of demons speaking out of a Christian's mouth, and that's when I really decided I wanted to learn about it. Of course, that was 43 years ago for me, and I finally got into it within that year, and in 43 years of high adventure. So you can expect that kind of thing yourself, Joe.
Lord calls us too.
Hello?
Sure. Yeah.
Did you hear me okay?
Yeah, I said it's exciting to do what the Lord calls us to do, for sure. If it's not big and scary,
oh, yes,
I didn't call you into it.
All right. Well, I don't know, somehow I never seem to have any fear at all in it. I guess I learned that Luke 10:19 real quick, you know, where we have all power given to us, and even the promise that nothing will harm us, all power in Jesus' name. Once you accept that as a truth and then start using it and quoting it, then I don't believe I've ever had any fear. In fact, we're the ones in the attack mode, and we just go after them, you know, and the teams here in Oklahoma City, we have about, we did have a pretty exciting, some months back, it was in May, we actually had 26 ministers with 26 people. That was kind of a new record for us. That's when a group came up from Texas, from the Gulf Coast. They flew in on a big jet, in fact. And we knew they were coming, so we made a special effort to get all the ministers. Problem is, not all the ministers come every Monday night. We actually, you know, everyone has things going on, and we average out usually a good dozen to 15, typically. Well, so anything else you'd like to say to the people before we wind up, Joe?
Just never stop seeking more in your walk with the Lord. There's always new places he wants to take you.
Amen. Thy adventure. I never knew the gospel could be so exciting and fulfilling. Oh my gosh, how exciting it is to God will use little us and see a life turned around right in front of us in the course of an evening. It's most amazing. I never get over the excitement and the spiritual high that usually with me lasts 2 or 3 days. Praise God. Well, thank you so much, Joe, for calling in and just speak that the Holy Spirit will direct you up there, and that as you all get that deliverance ministry going up there in Missouri. God bless you, Joe.
Yeah, no, thank you. God bless, Everett.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Well, pretty good testimony there.
Yeah, I can see him setting Missouri free, maybe. Well, of course, that's in your territory, too.
I'll tell you what, he can have that northern part.
Yeah, that's where he is. Close to Kansas City, I understand.
Yeah, I've been up there. It's a little different than the part I live in, so like a totally different state. I'm going to concentrate on the Ozarks.
Yeah.
So, but no, that's good. And 7 hours. 7 hours is a pretty good drive to reach out. And I just think about, I know it's recorded in the Book of Mark, about the woman that pushed through. And just wanted to, it's like, if I could just touch his cloak, I could be
healed.
And it takes a little bit of effort. It takes, you know, there's been many times where Jesus will say, well, do you believe? Do you have faith? And yeah, he already knows the answer. We know he already knew the answer. But it takes a certain amount of faith, which is an action to do it. Here's so often, well, why don't they just go to these hospitals and faith healers? If it's real, why don't they go to it? Well, those people in the hospitals a lot of times aren't looking for healing. You know what I mean? Not looking for healing. They're looking for a healing from a different aspect. They're looking for it from a different worldview. Sometimes that worldview does heal. But I sure like the cost of the gospel a lot better, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Praise God.
Freely given, freely received. That's a pretty good price, if you ask me. So I like that price.
You know, that is so true. I talk about this high that goes with ministering to these people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's part of it, freely give, freely receive. Because I'm on a high that alcohol has, as it did in the past, has no interest. You know, occasionally I've had a beer with a Mexican food and I don't want another because I'm starting to come off the high I'm already on. So, the Jesus is the biggest high of all.
That's right. Well, Pastor, we got our second caller, Jane. Jane, thanks for calling in this evening.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Jane, hi.
Hi, Everett.
Great to have you aboard. Hi, Jane, and so neat you called in, our first caller that finished a little early, so I went ahead and texted you to call on in. Well, Jane, why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and what was going on in your life and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like and what you're doing after that.
Okay. Well, I accepted Christ when I was 10 years old at a Baptist church and knew that if I died, I would be in heaven. I never doubted my salvation after that, but didn't answer a lot of questions for me in a lot of ways and grew up with a lot of anger, teenager, extremely rebellious, and continued in that path. Married after I finished college. That ended in divorce, but I had a beautiful daughter out of that marriage. And then before I married the second time, I was involved in a relationship, got pregnant, ended up having an abortion, married the second time, second alcoholic, that ended in divorce in 3 years, and then I was a single mom for 8 years with this beautiful daughter that I just opened a lot of doors for a lot of pain and hurt in her life. And by the time, let's see, I remarried when she was 11. And then by that time, she was already in a lot of pain, and we went through a lot in her teenage years. She ended up in a recovery center, and she was 16, got her out of a drug house, and then we both actually began a recovery journey at that time. And when I'd married the third time, I really came back into the church, and I was involved in Bible study. I was teaching. I was doing door-to-door evangelism. I mean, I could not have been any busier in the ministry. And just one morning on the couch, just remember crying out to Jesus, is this all there's ever going to be with you? And from that cry of the heart, he began to radically change a lot of things in our life. It was right after there that my daughter went into rehab. And so I've had a long journey with Bible study, long journey with teaching Sunday school. I worked with children's ministries. I've taught special needs children in school. But I never was free from the stronghold that had gripped me in my childhood. And it took control of my mind late in the afternoon. It was just such an addictive thing, and it was all related to food, and it really was my idol. It's what I looked forward to at night. It was my reward. It was I didn't trust Jesus to meet me at night. I had wonderful, beautiful, quiet times with him during the day. I'd had some really supernatural experiences with him through the years, lots of healing and a lot of places, but that really took over my mind and was pervasive through that. I had no idea what I was really dealing with. I'd done recovery programs for it. I'd done scripture work for it. And I just never had freedom from it. And then a wonderful friend that you know too, named Tom Moran, I met him about 3 years ago and introduced me to some very interesting things that I had not been in before. He taught me a Christ-centered meditation. That was beautiful healing that went on in there. And then he gave me this wonderful book called The Supernatural Works of Jesus by Everett Cox. And when I read that book, I just thought, this is what I need. And we ended up, that group from Texas that came up May the 24th, 18 of us, I believe it was 18, from our Crystal Beach Community Church. Our pastor came with it, very spirit-filled people, all involved in ministries, had a long walk with the Lord, lots of fruit in the ministries. And I would say all of us but one just had some incredible deliverance that night. And my life, of course, has never been the same. And it was just a huge paradigm shift, even in how I began to understand scriptures and passages that I had just read over, not really ever understood, I guess. I was never taught about deliverance. I was never taught about the authority and the power we have in Jesus. I was never taught that we're to do greater works than he. And so it is just, it's just, as you say, high adventure ever since May the 24th.
Amen. Amen. Yes, I remember when you came up, and it was just a wonderful evening. In fact, that was the evening, I think we had 26 that night. Yeah, that was the night. And we had 26 ministers. And we'd made a big effort knowing that 15 of you were flying up in that jet, and we knew others would be coming in as well. And so it just was a fantastic evening. And, you know, if you don't remember any others, remember that one, because that was That was just a perfect evening of doing the enemy in. And rattling the cage of the enemy and casting out devils and healing the sick. It was great.
It was. That plane was so full of joy and excitement on the way back to Texas. It really did. And that work is continuing in so many ways. And our dear friend, I just considered him a spiritual mentor, is with Jesus now. And I just think so much of the timing of all of that and the beautiful legacy that Thomas left, that beautiful life lived, letting Jesus live his life through him. And what a powerful thing that was. And it makes me think that we don't know the hours that we have on this earth. And I'm just so motivated to just... when Jesus prompts me, when he brings someone to me, my first thing is asking him, what does that person need right now? And to be, I call it a first responder, to just be prompt in the prompting of the Holy Spirit to speak into that person. And we're just seeing deliverances. We're seeing demons cast out in the most unexpected places and ways. I would never have thought possible 6 months before.
Well, just think how many Tom Moran is responsible for touching and introducing people to this work of Jesus. I wonder how many that is now, because it's gone out beyond the initial group.
Well, I know that just for me, since May the 24th, I've had the joy of seeing Holy Spirit come for 4 people just through me. And so one was my daughter. It was so powerful. And so, yes, there's just no telling how many times that's being multiplied. And so it is beautiful. It's just a powerful work. And I've moved from the area that I was living in when I was around Tom, from that Beaumont, Texas, and the Bolivar Peninsula down to Panama City, Florida, and I've already got one church that's very interested in this work. They're on your website. They're reading your book right now, Everett, so I'm just praying that this would just open up in that area. I know it will. I know that's God's will, and I know that's going to happen in whatever way he's going to bring that about. But it is. It is just a beautiful work, and it just grows, and there's just such a joy in being a part of that.
Well, that was pretty exciting, ministering to your daughter, wasn't it?
It was, Everett. It was such a sweet, precious just gift to me from Jesus, because I was the one that opened so many doors in her. And then from that beautiful way that he let me come in and be a part of her deliverance. And it took us 2 days to do it. We spent 5 hours one day, and then a lot came out, a lot of deliverance on that day. But then, I mean, we weren't through. And she said, Mother, can we continue tomorrow? She had to go pick up her daughter at school. My granddaughter, and I said, sure. And it gave me time to really ask the Holy Spirit about some things, and he revealed some things. And one of the things that happened was Eugenia and I were so healed in our relationship, and we've had such a beautiful, sweet time together in these decades since she was 17. And she said to me when we were talking about the soul tie, she said, now, Mother, I don't need to do that with you. We've had a lot of healing. So I said, okay. So we went through some others. Well, that afternoon when I was with the Holy Spirit, and we had a really difficult time getting the head demon to come up, and a spirit of hatred manifested in her, but I knew it wasn't a head demon, but and I had seen that demon in her when she checked into the Rafa Hospital that night. And I didn't know that that was who I was dealing with in that intake room. But when I saw that manifest on her face, I just said, I know you. And Holy Spirit told me that that's who I was dealing with when we checked her into Rafa Hospital. And so that was really powerful that day. That demon left and quite a few others. Then the next day, the first thing Eugenia and I did, I told her, I said, Eugenia, we do have to break the soul tie with me. And when we went into that, there was so much that came out. And so much forgiveness was buried in there. And even with the her dad and then the second husband and the third husband, and who had actually given her away in marriage. It was a real sweet relationship that they had, but there was just still a lot of wounding and unforgiveness. And so when all that work was done, then I was able to call up head demon. And that was the demon of lie. And that was so powerful. And, of course, he lied about blaming it, you know, saying it was all demon of hate. He didn't want himself called up. And so he told me how many angels he had seen. He told me the lies that he had spoken over Eugenia and into her. He told me the gifts in the God's gift box for her, beautiful gifts that had been stamped down that she had not been able to have. He told me what parts of the body he had affected, and those were the parts that she was struggling with. And then when we were, and he said there were three demons left, and we bound those together. And then when he was being cast out of her, she just said, Mother, it's a snake wrapped around my mind. And so she put the Bible on it and just moved the Bible around. And then when he was commanded to go, he did when he left. And her head cleared up, her headache left, the parts on her body, behind her neck, her ear, in her ear, her spine, just all that pain just immediately left.
Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was powerful.
So cool.
And then, Everett, what was so amazing about that is, and this is Tom Moran once again tied into this, and Tom was still alive at this time. Eugenia and I, of course, living in the same town. We're not living in the house yet. They're building the house, but I'm living on the property where they're building the house. So Eugenia and I have had a lot of time and a lot of sessions to process through what happened. And I call it doing the aftercare. And a lot of more teaching to her, a lot of scriptures have come to light. She's been able to continue to ask Holy Spirit to reveal things. So we've had a lot of time that has been beautiful and has continued in her freedom, and for these gifts to begin manifest. And
did you have those I Ams to give to her, Jane?
Whatever.
Did you have the I Ams? Did you have the I Ams to give to her?
Yes, we had the I Ams.
Perfect.
And told her that is so critical for her to begin confessing those. And so that part is beautiful, but I kept realizing how important this aftercare is. The way the Deliverance Ministry words it as the nine ways to stay free, that part. It's also, I believe, critical to be around people that understand deliverance, that have experienced deliverance, and that can continue in ministry. I know one night I was up there in the training session with Chris Davis, and he even stopped us and said, we're going to go through this again, the door closing prayer, with the ministers that were in the room. He said his had to do that. And just right there, I mean, I don't know, maybe this was 3 or 4 weeks after the May 24th deliverance when I came back up there and I brought my friend, Jennifer, that you delivered. And so I'm there, and I realized the spirit of judgment had come back in, and critical spirit, and I'm just yawning them out. And so I think we need to really be aware. We need to be continually. I remember Loopy saying that night up there, she said, the attacks of Satan get more subtle the more we go into this. And I thought that is a really good point. And so that's been a powerful thing. As I've been really was processing through a lot of this, really trying to understand this piece. I've shared the gospel several, many times before, seeing Holy Spirit, you know, bring that beautiful gift of salvation in, and seeing light come into people's eyes and things like that. And I've been in mentoring programs and, you know, Bible teaching. But that piece of deliverance was missing in what I was doing. And when Tom died, went to heaven, and I was thinking about him one morning and just what he had brought into my life through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus, I just heard Jesus say these words, he is my disciple. And it just, that Matthew 28:16-18 about the Great Commission, all of a sudden, I really understood that in a new way. That piece of, I have been given authority, all the authority and power in heaven and earth, therefore, go into the world making disciples, baptizing in my name. That it is using that power and authority. We could share the gospel of salvation, but then it is bringing the deliverance. And then,
yes,
the mentoring, then helping them be free to use their gifts. And that is the true disciple to me. That is the way,
amen,
I see that now. And it is powerful and beautiful. And that, you know, just in the last, this last weekend, Everett, before I came up there to go to another training session on a Friday, we went into this basic food, which is a very Christ-centered health food store here. It is a real place for healing and for knowledge, and they partnered with me when I was doing my preventative health seminars. Where we said we want to learn how to cooperate with the way God made our body so it stays healed and healthy for his work. That was really our mission statement. And this this health food store, it was just such a beautiful part of that and knowledgeable. And so my sister and I went into that health food store on Friday. And after I left Beaumont, COVID had just swept through 5 of their key employees, and they're all extremely healthy. They have great immune systems. And so this one named Mary Ann, who is a part owner and the manager, came up and was talking to my sister and me, and my sister just said, Mary Ann, something is really wrong with you. I see it in your eyes. And we just took her over to a corner of the store. They have a little cafe, and we just explained casting out the demon. She said yes, and we just sat there and cast out the spirit of infirmity, the spirit of sickness, any spirits that we just asked the Holy Spirit to reveal what had come into her. We just cast those out. We didn't even do the full work. We didn't even go into anything else. And she immediately, light came back in her eyes. She texted me that afternoon. She said, that darkness has totally lifted. And then Everett, she,
hallelujah,
I want to go.
Well, that just goes to show. That goes to show, Jane, you don't always have to do the whole ball of wax to get people free. I've done a lot of altar call a ministry, which you only had minutes. And even then, there were people that got set free from fear and things just that quick. But, well, we're out of time. Gosh, it was a tremendous testimony. Just in a few seconds, 30 seconds, what else would you say to the people before we hang up?
Well, for anyone that's had deliverance, those nine steps to freedom are just critical. But I'm just like everybody else that says, you know, pray. If you have tormenting problems, things that you have dealt with for a long time, then that is demonic, and there is freedom. And I just love it. It's free to be free. And that's what I say, free to be free. Jesus wants us free. It's there. And he just calls us to this beautiful freedom in him, that he can be glorified and he can bring others to this freedom. It's just beautiful. And thank you for your work, Everett.
Amen.
Thank you for this radio.
Thank you so much. That was
thank
an awesome,
David.
Awesome testimony.
Yes. Thank you very
God
much.
God bless you.
Great
God
testimony.
Bless y'all.
It was great. talk to you later, Jane. Bye-bye.
Well, there she goes, talks about that price again.
Mm-hmm.
Free to be free.
Yep,
and if
right.
you're looking for freedom, and if you're looking for freedom, as she said, there's something there that's in your life you just can't seem to get rid of. There's a good chance there could be a demon behind it. Any questions regarding deliverance? DeliveranceUSA.com. It is a free website set up with a book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. 307-742-7582. Call Rich at the office and he'll get it out to you. Now, granted, that book's not, we do ask for $20 offering for it, because it does cost money to print it, and it does cost money to ship it. So, but it's a pretty good deal if you ask me, because it's got excellent information in there. Well, Pastor, we'll see you next time. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. God bless, and have a good night.
God bless, everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of
the enemy, ooh, to overcome. Nothing
will harm you,
nothing
will harm you.